Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, a new wave of medical apps to keep you, healthy as possible.
Healthy, yeah, feeling fit. Plus, Apple's expanding big in China. We've got a Safari Duh tip. And is a thinner iPad what the world really needs? Oh, look, it's about to float away.
You know what the world really does need is some cool notifications in iOS 8, and we're going to tell you about those, too, on iPad Today.
It's Woo! iPad Today time, kids.
What's up, Leo?
How you doing, Sarah?
Snapping. I'm really good. Thank you for asking.
This is the show where Sarah Lane and Leo Laporte, that's me,
show off someone else's beautiful gold iPad.
Gather together to talk about the iPad. This is it, a millimeter thinner. Okay, I want to do a little test with you.
Okay. Is this a guessing game?
Take the cover off of your iPad.
Oh, this is
going to
be fun. All right.
And it's connected, so take the cable off. You don't have to close your eyes yet.
I want to, though.
Okay,
It makes it kind of more dramatic.
So I have the new... One hand I have the Air 2, and this is the old Air, right? And both of these are 3G, right? Yours is 3G?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to mix them up. And now keep your eyes closed. Put out your hands. And I'm going to give you one and the other. And if you can tell me which one is the lighter one, I will buy you a brand new Air 2.
Oh, mother. It's this one.
Nope.
Oh!
Wow. So I'm just making a point here. The only point I'm making is not that it's not lighter. It is lighter.
It is thinner.
But it's so little, you will not be able to tell the difference.
Wow.
Yeah.
You
see, this is a good experiment.
Yeah.
Because it is lighter. It's a few grams.
Technically.
It's a few grams lighter.
I didn't know.
But you can barely tell.
I just picked one, and I just happened to be wrong. But they don't...
You had a 50-50 chance is what you had.
Right. But, my point is it felt exactly the same. It's very negligible. Even the thin... I thought it's not going to be that much lighter, but the thinness is... I think the Verge article said, it's thin. You feel like you're holding nothing.
This is what cracks me up.
I feel like I'm holding an iPad.
The people who went to the event and apparently were stuck in the reality distortion field said, it just feels so light. It's like it's floating away. But when you really get down to it and you do a test, just as we did, and by the way, I've done this with 4 or 5 people, and in fact, most people pick the old iPad, not the new one, which is not statistically likely. And I don't mean this in any way to denigrate Apple or their specs. It is lighter and thinner. My point is don't run to the store because you want a thinner and lighter iPad.
Well,
it's negligible.
And also, I read, for everybody who was at the Apple event that day, a lot of people said that. Wow, it is so thin. It's crazy.
Right. Doesn't that crack you up?
Talk about other stuff that actually matters rather than something that clearly is being embellished.
Is it thinner or lighter than an iPad 1 or 2? Yeah, of course.
Big time.
So if you have I guess our advice stands, now that we've played with it a little bit. Mm. If you have an older iPad, a 1 or 2 or maybe even a 3, this is a worthy upgrade. But if you have the most recent iPad Air, a year ago Air, like you do, unless you really want Touch ID. Remember, there's no NFC in here, so it doesn't do Apple Pay at the terminal.
Right.
Or you really want the 8-megapixel camera, the better camera. Or you feel like, and there's a speed differential. There is, benchmarks show the new iPad Air 2 is about, in many cases, twice as fast. It's at least 50% faster than your old one. But do you ever feel like your iPad is sluggish?
Yes, actually.
Oh.
Now that you mention it.
Okay, well then.
However, I feel like I should also. I have so many weird apps on this machine.
It could be just what you've junked it up.
Look at all this. Yeah. These are all, Brian, go ahead and look. Yeah, here we go. Just pages and pages.
Well, me too, because we try a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and I don't always go through and clean everything up because I think, I might need it later or whatever. However, I have noticed, an airplane this morning and I paid for the Wi-Fi and it was kept crashing on me and couldn't really do anything.
Yeah, so you're just, you can have a new one.
Thanks. That worked out in my favor.
One of us should have a new one and I think it should be you. I don't mind having last year's iPad Air.
right.
We're going to get a new one for you. By the way, this is one actually reason you might want to get the new one. Gold. And with a red cover and gold, that's Niners colors. So Lisa's very happy with this. This is hers. But I think if you shouldn't feel like if you have last year's iPad, you're somehow left out.
You know, the new iPad Air and Mini 3 reviews went live last week. Yeah. It was after our show last week where we would have talked about it, but I think it was last Thursday. You know, everything got published. It was an embargo situation. And, you know, really across the board, even, you know, Apple enthusiasts, John Gruber and Walt Mossberg and, you know, people who in general, have really good relationships with Apple and are...
They got review
happy
units.
Happy with Apple products, had review units, and pretty much everybody was like the same thing. This is definitely the best iPad Apple's ever made, but you don't really need it.
Right.
And that's I know a lot of people, because we hear from you, get really frustrated when we sound like we're being critical of, you know, Apple and iPads on this particular show, because obviously we're also Apple enthusiasts.
We're not critical.
In a way.
We love iPads.
Yeah. I just think, I mean, this is the reality. We're trying to understand what's going on with the evolution of iPad and Apple products in general.
And understand, we're not here to sell iPads. We're here to help you use your iPad. And I think a very important message for people who have an iPad Air is... Don't feel like your iPad Air is obsolete. It's not a significant difference. It's, in fact, Nilay Patel said it probably best. It's magical, but not revolutionary.
Mm.
It's the iPad is still, I think, an incredible device, but with larger phones, with the fact that it's a mature product, and it's hard to make big improvements to a product that's already great.
Yeah,
you probably don't need to buy a new one, except every. And this, even Apple said this. Tim Cook in the earnings call said, "Yeah, iPad sales have slowed down for the third quarter in a row, and part of it is this is a new category. We know how often people buy new phones. We know how often people buy new computers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't yet know what the life cycle for an iPad is. Is it 1 year? No, probably not. Is it 2 years? Maybe three." Certainly. If you have a three-year-old iPad, would you get a new one now if you could? Yes.
Totally.
A lot of money to spend.
Almost think of it as just like you have more options than ever because last year's iPad Air is perfectly nice.
Now, so, I have a mini. I always call it the Retina. The mini with Retina. iPad mini with Retina.
Yeah, mini Retina.
And I think I can counsel everybody. You'd be crazy to buy the new iPad mini because it's exactly the same with the one exception of Touch ID.
Yeah.
They didn't speed it up. They didn't improve. They didn't do anything. They just put glue. And they literally glued it in with a hot glue gun, we found out, by the way.
Yeah. In fact, that was actually, we were going to talk about it in a minute. We might as well talk about it now. I read this. Was it?
I Fix It.
It was a few days ago on the 24th. I Fix It, who is known for their teardowns of all sorts of things, but certainly Apple products. Yeah. Said that the Touch ID home button was, it looked like it was glued with a hot glue gun. To the, the motherboard, whatever it is.
To the thing.
Yeah, whatever it is.
It's glued to the thing, literally with hot glue gun.
The circuits that are inside iPads these days. Also, a NFC chip, which is not in use to, tap your iPad at the store.
It's built in to the hardware, but they don't enable it.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between having it? I guess they could later enable it. With a software update.
Which sometimes Apple does. Sometimes there are things inside products that end up being turned on at a later date when,
there are reasons
we're ready for them.
Besides, I mean, most people are probably not going to take an iPad to the store and tap and pay. But there are reasons for NFC in here. For instance, a lot of accessories use NFC, Bluetooth accessories use the NFC chip to pair with a device. So if you we don't know this on the Apple side, but people who use Android phones often will be able to tap it against a pair of wireless Bluetooth speakers, and that will bond the two, and it's a much easier process. There's also security things, and Apple, according to the information this morning, Amir Afradi writing, is apparently considering the idea that an iPhone's NFC chip might be used to get you on mass transit. BART, for instance, in the Bay Area, uses NFC cards. In London, they use the Oyster card. That's an NFC card.
Hmm.
Apple's considering maybe making that possible.
That's amazing.
So there are uses for NFC that could make sense in an iPad.
Now, have you heard about the CVS and what was the other store?
Rite Aid.
Rite Aid that said, you know, we don't really want people using Apple Pay, so we're going to go ahead and disable our NFC infrastructure.
You know, it's funny. Before they disabled it, Apple Pay actually worked, even though it didn't have the Apple logo.
Right.
Because Apple Pay isn't a new invention.
No.
It's an existing technology that's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually working at Rite Aid and CVS, and they disabled it, not just for Apple users, but for everybody.
Everybody.
Because
if you're one of the Google Wallet people hanging out at CVS buying stuff with your phone, now you're screwed too.
And you know why? Because they're part of a consortium created by Walmart to...
It always comes back to Walmart, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know what, Walmart? You don't...
Next year, Walmart and the 30 other companies, including quite a few companies that you may shop at, including Kohl's and Rite Aid and CVS, of course.
CVS close to my house, so I go on there all the time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Are going to adopt this currency, which is designed by Walmart to take the credit card companies out of the business. You know, they pay the credit card companies...
A percentage
of the transactions.
Yeah.
Everybody does. They don't want to do that. Plus, they want to keep all that personal information about you, the buyer, for themselves. So the way currency works, though, is so crazy that it's never going to happen. You have to download the appropriate Rite Aid or CVS app onto your iPhone, and then or any phone. And then when you get to the terminal, instead of tapping it, the clerk will put up a QR code on the screen, which you then take your iPhone, take a picture of it, or your iPad, take a picture of it, and then the application will send it, and magic will happen, and then the payment will happen. And, by the way, they'll get not only your... But you have to use this with a CVS loyalty card that you've put money on or a debit card. They'll get all that information, your home address, your phone number, your date of birth, what you bought, all of that in a big Walmart database. And so that's what they're
sounds
up to.
Sounds great.
Yeah. This is just a non-starter. These companies...
It's like, why bother?
I just can't imagine this.
What a long meeting that must have been.
Yeah.
It's not...
There is. Currency is currently in the App Store. And 99% one-star reviews. Partly because you can't do anything with it.
Yeah. Social security number to... Buy some eyeliner at CVS. I don't think so.
I'm not giving them my social. Do not give out your social.
That's a bad idea.
Not to be used that way.
You know, speaking of data and things that you don't want to be giving out, obviously you've got to be careful about the new wave of medical and health apps that have hit the App Store, especially because of Apple's HealthKit and the health app that weirdly is not on the iPad.
HealthKit is not an 8.1 on the iPad?
No.
That's weird.
It's an iPhone app, not an iPad app.
How interesting.
You know, it's funny because, okay, so over the weekend, Leo and I were talking about what's our theme going to be today? And Leo suggested, what about medical apps? I mean, you know, it's kind of serious stuff, but we might as well look at them. So
Dr. Mom,
this is a great idea.
One of our great fans had sent us a list of, I think, seven medical apps.
Oh, is that where they came from?
Yeah, that will work on the iPhone.
Thank you, Dr. Mom.
But she's been a great contact because she's been keeping an eye on this. Understand that any app or device that gives you medical advice has to be approved by the FDA. So, for instance, let's say they put an app that measures your blood pressure.
Yeah.
And you need, obviously, some additional hardware. If that app measures your blood pressure and then says whether it's good or bad, the FDA has to approve that. And now the FDA is working on a process to speed this up or even in some cases eliminate approval.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's at Apple's behest. But one of the things that's holding this back right now is that you really can't do a whole lot without FDA approval.
Right.
So what we're going to show you are apps that have been approved that you can use that will tie in the HealthKit in some cases.
Mm-hmm. And there's a few of them, actually, that that I thought, well, they're all kind of worth looking at on the iPad, even though, you know, when you set up these apps, and some of them are universal apps for iPhone and iPad, and some are iPhone, but obviously they run on the iPad. But even without the, and send the stuff to the health app, Apple's health app, where you can go see it later, I still think that they're cool to have on the iPad. Which one should we start with? Let's start with AskMD, because I actually went through, and the idea is I think you have to look at this one in portrait mode. Hopefully you can see this. Yeah. Yeah, this is exactly right. So
you're going to get medical advice from this.
Yes, exactly. Now, what I did already was I said, you know what? I've got some sleep problems. I actually slept like garbage last night, so
no,
I wasn't
I never
even really
sleep
lying.
Well, so this is good. Let's do this together.
Yeah. So what I did was I answered a lot of questions about, like, what kind of sleep problem? You know, did this follow some sort of a traumatic event? Have you taken a flight recently? You know, have you ever had, you know, this, how many varieties of cancer? I mean, I answered a lot of questions, at least 50 questions. So after all of the questions that I answered, and I answered, you know, as well as I could, I didn't lie about anything or embellish. It says, all right, you got 10 possible causes. Some of these are common causes, like substance related sleep disorder. No, don't go nuts. This substance includes caffeine, which I am very sensitive to.
Could be me.
Medication related sleep problem based on, you know, just, I don't know.
You're definitely short.
And I sleep not well.
So I think that's you. I think you've nailed the short. You're a short sleeper.
Well, you know what's funny is I was like, short sleeper.
What does that mean?
Is that a cause? Well, it turns out that a short sleeper is someone who regularly sleeps fewer than 6 hours a night without being overly tired or having it affect their daytime functioning. Well, see, I know this isn't my problem because I do feel tired.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like sharp as a tack when I don't sleep well.
Right.
Now, here are some less common causes, and I learned a few things. For example, fatal familial insomnia.
What?
You ever heard of this? Also called fatal progressive insomnia with dysautomania, is a rare inherited disorder. The disease affects the thalamus, part of the brain that regulates sleep, blah, blah, blah. I mean,
Is it fatal?
It can be a bad name. It can
if
be.
If it's not fatal.
You can go into a coma.
So you see why the FDA needs to approve these.
Yeah.
Right there.
In a weird way.
You don't want to be calling your doctor saying, doctor, I have fatal familial insomnia.
Right. I saw it on the internet.
In the
App Store. You know what I actually think it is?
Night eating.
I mean, I'm not like sleepwalking and eating, but I eat late. I think that's part of my problem.
No, this says you're getting up to eat. It says getting up to eat in the middle of the night.
Oh.
They're fully awake during
eating
episodes.
Awakened during the night to eat. Yeah, that's what I do. I do that.
Wait a minute. You wake up in the middle of the night and go eat something?
Sometimes.
You have it.
I think you should
call your doctor.
I've got night eating syndrome. It's like, I didn't need it after
talk
to tell me that. I know what I'm doing.
NES.
Anyway, there are a variety of causes of something that's like, hey, when I typed in my medical condition, and by the way, you can go ahead and
give it information.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
Does this tie in
to your profile
to HealthKit? Is this going to give that information to HealthKit in some way?
Well, only if I was running the app on my iPhone.
But if you were running it in your iPhone, it would be part of HealthKit.
Yes.
Okay.
What's neat? Okay. So you could be like, all right, well, that's just an app that tells you about medical stuff. But again,
You could do that on the web, right? With WebMD, they have similar things.
I mean, that's more sort of like, hey, I'm going to research an issue that I might have, and hopefully, you know, the answer isn't too scary. But what is nice about that is that AskMD also. You know, if today I have a problem with insomnia, you know, maybe in a week, you know, one of my knees is sore from running. And so it's like there are a variety of issues that then over time, you know, I mean, as long as you're okay, you know, keeping that record of, you know, a variety of physical issues, that all gets saved by Apple. And so it's almost like a journal, really, of all of the things that you might want to look up easy reference later.
I like that stuff. Mm-hmm. Although you have to recognize, and this happens to med students, too, that you start reading about these things, you think, oh, I've got that.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got that.
Yeah.
Hey, this one has been around for a while. This does not currently tie to HealthKit, but I'm sure will. There's a company you've heard us talk about called Why Things.
Yeah.
And I have several Why Things things. They make a baby monitor. They make a scale. That was the first thing I got, my Why Things scale. I now have a Why Things blood pressure monitor, and a sphygmomanometer that you put. These are physical devices. You know, the scale you step on, the sphygmomanometer you put on your bicep, and it inflates, and just like at the doctor's office. But then using Bluetooth, it records that information on your iPhone and your iPad, makes a graph. Now, I have slightly elevated blood pressure, so this was a really important thing for me to monitor. My doctor said, I want you to take it at the same time every day, and I want you to email me the results after a few weeks. Well, this made it very easy because not only did it record it, but I can then email the results to my physician. He then put me on medication, and then I started monitoring it after the medication to make sure it was working. It also does that with weight. This is my secret shame, so please don't judge me. It's going up and up and up. And it keeps track of that as well. Now, I'd love to see more things built into this. And I think that's one of the things HealthKit promises is by taking data from a variety of devices. This is the Y Things, a couple of Y Things devices, and then adding it perhaps to the pedometer or the, you know, the Fitbit, and adding it to other devices that you have. You can get a much fuller picture of your overall health by marrying that all together in a single app. I shouldn't say it doesn't work with HealthKit yet. Because it might.
I believe it does.
Maybe it does now.
Okay, I believe it does, yeah.
I've had this for so long that I've just been keeping track of it since before I had HealthKit. So this is, I think this is a really wonderful tool. And everybody, if you're thinking about HealthKit, is going to end up buying devices that will tie to HealthKit because HealthKit by itself does nothing. Any of the Y Things products are very good choices. I've been very happy with the blood pressure monitor.
And, you know, I pretty much any fitness, health expert will say the same thing is like, that is, again, another form of journaling, really. Because when you were saying like your weight, you didn't like the direction it was going in. But it's helpful because you're seeing an upward trajectory.
So
right?
Now I know.
Yeah. Because one day you're like, okay, well, that's the number.
Right.
You know, what is it in relation to? Over time, if you're like, oh, we're seeing a trend, maybe I'm going too hard on the donuts. I don't know.
And maybe... You're looking at me?
Well, you...
Maybe, though, what's really interesting is then monitoring that plus sleep patterns, mm-hmm. plus blood pressure, plus, say, glucose level or VO2 max, and seeing the relationship. And I think that's where HealthKit can offer us some real value. Your physician probably does that, but not really isn't paying as much attention as you might want. You're going to pay a lot more attention to that. And you might make those correlations more quickly and more easily than a physician might, where you notice, gosh, my weight's going up and so's my blood pressure. That's to be expected, and that's something that HealthKit can really help you with by bringing those together. You have some more apps?
I do. It's funny, right? As soon as you started talking about Y Things, this app called Hello Doctor that I had downloaded earlier crashed on me, so I just quickly reinstalled it. Let's see if... Okay.
Hello, doctor.
I think we're a little bit happier. Now, some of these are a little bit difficult to actually demo too much because there's only so much medical information I want to share with the world. But
make it up. We're not going to tell the truth here.
Yeah, and this is...
Really my weight. You don't think that was really my weight.
No, these are just test accounts.
No, it's just
test
raw
accounts.
Data.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I had already gone through this earlier, but the stupid app, I don't know, was just, something's wrong with my iPad. I really don't want to blame anyone.
We ought to replace that. I think we just ought to get
so.
A new one.
I think so. But anyway, so this is Hello Doctor, and the idea is you let it know a few things about yourself, what your goals are. You know, what are my fitness and health goals? So, for example, do I want to manage my medical documents, track my parameters, get explanations of my lab results, manage my medical appointments?
Manage my medical appointments.
Yeah, okay,
that's
sure, you know. Do you have diabetes, arthritis, depression, stroke, ulcers, you know, all the stuff.
So you might have, if you have a condition like that, you might have more medical appointments.
Right.
And a broader variety of practitioners.
And then it can kind of customize my experience. Yeah. If it's about arthritis, then okay, well, we're going to focus on that. I don't really have any of these medical conditions, thank goodness. So I'll just go ahead and say, none of those.
Did you know?
I don't want to do that right now because I don't have that information in front of me. But last I checked, I was fine. And then it's sort of like, oh.
I don't know what it's, I can't read I it. Don't, but so you're, it's asking you for additional stuff.
Well, it's saying, are you sure you don't want to give us your cholesterol number? And it's like, either I don't know it, I'm not interested, or I'll do it later.
So it asks for your cholesterol and you say, yeah. I don't know.
Now, at this point, you can add any variety of medical information. Now,
it does what HealthKit does. Isn't that what HealthKit does, is keep track of all that stuff?
Well, HealthKit is a central repository for a lot of apps. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the apps have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? HealthKit alone isn't just...
So this is a keeping track of some stuff that HealthKit doesn't specifically keep track of.
Yeah, I see.
All right.
And, you know, so what I can do is I can say, all right, well, I'll email my medical info. You can take a photo of a paper record. You can type it in manually. If you have some sort of access to, we have Kaiser, so we actually have really good online access to a lot of information there. You can use online clinic access. So the idea here is to basically digitize your medical
information. Will it do it automatically, or do I have to manually enter it? I mean, can it download my records? I see. You've got a camera.
Yeah.
It could theoretically download them.
Yeah, you can basically forward an email, take a photo, enter it manually, or access it a variety of different ways online.
This is important because some medical groups will support direct input of data. Mm-hmm. Some won't. And Apple's making deals with some, and your app might have, so this is something you kind of have to research a little bit. What your hospital or what your health plan is, what your doctor uses. There's different standards now, unfortunately.
I wish I had this back a few years ago when I had to get a bunch of MRIs because not only were they expensive, but the whole sort of how you get billed is, I don't know, it's coming in months later and then you got an MRI at one particular hospital branch and then you had to go somewhere else and you don't even remember which
exactly
one it was.
Right?
And it honestly, I felt that it was super confusing and overwhelming to me.
Yeah.
And of course, everything's handled via paper and you're getting stuff in the mail and you're getting a second notice and all this nonsense. So I really think that at the very least, especially if there's something specific that you're going through, if you're just sort of hey, I got a yearly checkup and I've always been fine, there's not too much to input here, right? Or nothing that's going to really stand out as something that you need to monitor. But for a lot of people, you've got a variety of, drugs or prescriptions.
Look, this is great, keeping track of your prescriptions.
Yeah. Your last immunizations.
Can you get, have a schedule that says, it's 4 a.m. Friday, you should be taking this pill and... I bet you can do that.
Oh, yeah. That's
awesome.
That's exactly what Hello Doctor is meant to be.
Hardest thing to keep track of, really. I'm not on a lot of medication, but if I were, and I know older people often are, that could be really complicated.
The last app that I wanted to show you, and again, it's kind of hard because I'm not actually a Mayo Clinic patient.
But this has always been the greatest app, starting back in the earliest days of the web.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
In fact, most of the, if I ever want to do a deep dive about a weird medical condition, it's that's the one that I always trust.
It started with a book. They published a wonderful book for normal people. I can't remember that. It was a Mayo Clinic guide. I used to have this. And especially when the kids were little, you would look up, what do I do if they scrape their knee? Or, if they have pain on the left side of their abdomen, what does that mean? And this is so great that they've put this into an app on the iPad.
Yeah, it's cool. So if you are a patient, then you can go ahead and, basically sign in. I was like, oh, okay, I'll sign in. I'll give myself an account. But it's it'll ask you for, your user number. So it's
if you were an actual patient.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and I'm not. So there's just nothing I can really do about that.
But can you do anything with it if you're not?
Actually.
Yeah, it's informational, right?
Yeah. It's totally informational. Now, just, the physical clinics, there's one in Minnesota, there's one in Arizona, and there's one in Florida, I think. Yeah.
Rochester, Minnesota, very famous.
Is that where it is? Rochester, Minnesota. I didn't realize that. But just go into the videos section, and this is... an extremely good repository of health-related... It took a long time to load when I pulled this up earlier, so I'm not exactly... It's not our connection this time. But it'll go ahead and retrieve a bunch of videos that, are in a variety of categories that tell you a little bit more about this clinic and why it's special and what they do differently and what kind of people they...
So this is just a big ad for the Mayo Clinic.
Well, but don't you want to know more about it?
Well, it's a great place.
If you're going to trust them.
But see, I was hoping that they would put the contents of that great book.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because that was a diagnostic manual for non-physicians. It was really, really great.
That
one of our chatters
they do have.
One of our chatters is a patient at the Rochester campus and says. She does use the app a lot. So if you are a patient, this has much more in it.
Again, it's I can't just get it. They're basically saying this is reserved for our patients.
Yeah.
It's a nice app, though.
That's a great place.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that you have to go there, but if you're going to go to a hospital, that's a good one to go to.
It's a good one. Right. Good one to have.
Right.
If you're interested in any of these medical apps, by the way, and we are really just scratching the surface, if you just type in, by the way, in the App Store, medical apps... There is a category that Apple has put together. Medical
so they have a health kit category? I imagine they do.
Yeah, well, it's a little weird on the iPad because the health kit stuff is completely downplayed. But there's a lot. By the way, you get into a lot of marijuana apps when you type in medical, because of medical marijuana, people are trying to find out
What does a marijuana app do for you? Does it just tell you about stuff?
I haven't downloaded any of them, but I would assume that it would, tell you what, different strains are good for when it comes to, pain management and other reasons
Like the Yo app, I thought maybe there was a Whoa app.
I don't know if it's that sort of. Anyway, it's you could get lost in the medical apps category in the app store.
I think this is actually a great use of the iPad.
I do too.
And I
probably don't download something called "Are You All Right?" That looks like
a game.
Anime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Actually, it has. Apparently, good reviews.
It's a great game. Phil has released his own app today as we speak. I did do a search for Dr. Phil, and all I found was Dr. Phil Slots. It's a slot machine game, so I think it's not out yet.
Well.
Is there any news? We kind of covered a lot of it at the beginning of the show.
We did.
You know what I'm excited about? Because we just learned, for instance, that iTunes revenues dropped 13% this year alone. They're plummeting.
Yeah. So what are they going to do?
Well, it tells me that people aren't buying music. They're listening to Spotify. You like RDO.
True. I am getting a little bit annoyed. And I know this would happen on Spotify also. It's not RDO's fault. But, music licensing, things change. And, I pay a monthly fee in order to have...
Well, don't you have everything?
No.
Not anymore.
Well, what happens is, pardon me, that's contagious. Yeah, now I'm going to cough.
I'm coughing in your ear.
Yeah. What happens is there'll be a new album. Tove Lo, for example, I really like her. So she new album came out a couple weeks ago. I was like, this is awesome. Add it to my collection because I pay RDO. Then I get that. I get access to that via, my iPad, my iPhone. It's basically via mobile, away from the website. There is there are free tiers that are more limiting, but it's like I want mobile music. That's the point.
Sure.
But then it just became unavailable like a couple weeks later, and I'm like, "This is a brand new album." I mean, that is the point of me paying my subscription fees that I have access to this stuff.
And now it's gone.
Well, what happens is they go away, and then RDO has to go out and get licensing rights.
Does this
way? It happens on Spotify too.
First of all, you pay $10 a month. You're not going to buy three of these. You're going to buy one.
Yeah.
So you may not know. T-Mobile. I got Rhapsody streaming for free because I'm a T-Mobile customer. Remember AT&T. Was offering for a while a family plan on Beats. They don't do that anymore now that Apple owns them. Speculation is that Apple will either rebrand Beats or fold it by folding it into iTunes or somehow. I think Beats we like. We played with it a little bit. I think it's got a great interface. But my choice right now is Google Play Music.
Okay.
That's the one I happen to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And I like a lot. And I've been on a Spotify because I thought Spotify was great. I've tried Rhapsody, RDO. Deezer's the new one. It's big internationally, not yet here in the States. And that one's going to offer 320 kilobit streaming, very high quality streaming.
Deezer also just bought Stitcher Radio.
They just bought Stitcher. So I think they're going to offer podcasts or spoken word.
Yeah, well, and that'll differentiate them.
Won't that be cool?
Well, it makes you more like real radio.
I should buy
because
Deezer.
Because radio isn't just music.
Right.
It's talk radio also.
But I do like this. Remember, maybe it was last year, Google bought Songza. This was a company we loved. It was streaming radio kind of Pandora style, but not by artist. Pandora makes a radio station by you pick the artists you like and then it has similar artists, but by mood, by what you're doing. And they finally incorporated it into Google Play Music. So when you get your Google Play Music update, besides the normal stuff you've always seen, which is your album collection, it'll upload your entire iTunes library and playlists and stuff, plus the streaming stuff, because it's just like Spotify and everybody else. It has its own music collection, about 20 million songs. But now at the top, you'll get this new thing. It's Monday afternoon. Play music for driving, exploring cool sounds. Let's have some fun at work, what do you say? And then what it's going to do is put together some interesting radio stations based on you're at work.
Guilty pleasures.
Should we do guilty pleasures? Who doesn't?
Or dancing at your desk.
Well, let's try it.
Yeah.
Now, that's not the end of it. So... These are continuous. This is kind of what Beats is doing with their sentences.
Yeah.
Right. So fly hits, totally rad hits, fetch hits? What's fetch?
Oh, you know, that's so fetch. Stop trying to make fetch happen, Gretchen. It's not going to happen. You've never seen Mean Girls.
Headphones only, guilty pleasures. Okay, we want to dance. Now these are the actual stations. Today's dance pop party. This is how we do it, R&D dance party. Let's do a Michael Jackson dance party. And this is now going to be a radio station. If I play any more, I'll have to pay them a royalty. That's Usher, not Michael Jackson. But
you don't have to call.
Well, but see, you know it immediately. This is a sing-along, guilty pleasure. You're going to...
I don't know if that's how it goes.
This is
probably
a radio station that will continue to play songs based on this kind of style. There's some Michael Jackson stuff. There's
love
the
it.
Jackson 5. And this is... So this is part of Google Play Music because they bought Songza. They finally incorporated Songza in. I've always liked Songza quite a bit. It's kind of Pandora style, but it's based on mood, time of day, things like that. And they do have, by the way, it's not just pop. I actually tend to listen to... Whoops, I don't want that. I tend to listen to classical music on it. I don't know how I get back. I'm now trapped in the party pony style. There we go. Slide it down here.
Sometimes apps are too smart for us.
I know.
It's like...
I know. So I actually listen to a lot of classical sunrise, mellow cello. That's the seductive sonority of
a finely...
They
call me mellow cello.
Quite right.
Intimate encounters?
Well, I...
Okay.
You know, it's business time.
Thumbs up.
Anyway, I love this, and if you're a Google Play subscriber... or even if you're not, I don't think you have to pay for this particular feature. This is a great reason to at least take a look at what Google's offering. You know, it's not as pretty as Beats.
It's not as pretty as anything, really.
it's ugly.
But,
I agree.
But, you know, you...
It's functional.
You also... Yeah, it's about
what I like about
audio.
This one is the music that I have purchased, like the fabulous ASAP Rocky.
I know you love him.
It automatically gets uploaded, just like Amazon Music. Amazon does the same thing. It gets uploaded to their servers, kind of like iTunes Match. And so then the songs that I particularly like are always available to me, even if they stop selling the music or whatever. This is stuff that I own.
I'm afraid you're gonna
play too much.
I don't know that song.
Can you play too much, Afro Man?
I'm afraid of what he's gonna do before he hits the party.
All of my music is here, in addition to the free the streaming stuff, the 20 million songs.
Yeah.
And so even if you say stuff coming and going on RDO, buy the album. First of all, buy the album just because RDO and none of these companies pay the musicians anything.
It's pennies. I know it's a mess.
So if you really like an album, buy it, and then. With a system like this, not like RDO and Spotify, but with a system like Google Play Music or Amazon or iTunes Match, those are always going to be available to you, regardless of what licensing arrangements.
Well, it's kind of nice to have a hybrid, too. So it's a combination of your music.
Right. So if I really like an album, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Mostly because I want to support the artist, because, frankly, as long as I'm paying the $10 a month, I can stream it.
I haven't bought an album in so long because I love subscription music services. I mean, in theory, I don't like the idea of artists getting screwed out of, royalties at all.
I got to be honest.
But it's...
Artists have never made any money. The record companies have robbed them blind. It's now really the record companies that are getting screwed.
Yeah, right.
And I like that.
Do you?
No, actually, I don't, because where's
the artist? The artists aren't
now. Everybody's not making it.
Right.
So, what's the future of music when nobody makes money in music? That worries me a little bit.
Hasn't it been that way for some time? Where any artist or group will tell you have to go tour. Okay. You know, everything else is just it's a lost leader, and then you make up everything on your tour with the hits and the Beyoncés and the Jay-Zs.
Actually,
the tours.
One of our chatters does tell me that you do have to pay for all access if you're going to have the Songza feature. That's too bad, because Songza was free, and I really liked it.
Free. That's interesting. I was just having this conversation with some people over the weekend, and it was like the idea of. We were talking about TV at the time, but you know why live TV is so compelling. Like a live sports thing, but just people like the idea that other people are watching something at the same time. And I think that extends to, that's why you can like a song and buy the album and then you hear it on the radio because you didn't program that song in at that moment. And you're like, oh my God, I love this song.
Sorry. It's Andrea Nicotina. Love the Dre. He's going to be across the street for Halloween, just in case anybody wants to.
What does that mean?
He's playing at the Phoenix on Halloween.
Oh.
Andre Nicotina.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, that's a person.
It's a person, yes. He's a fine person.
A fine, fine person. Playing right across the street, huh? Yeah. It's weird. Yeah, it gets
strange. Well, look at this. This is interesting. According to Forbes Celebrity 100 list, Taylor Swift earned $18 million in 2009, $64 million so far this year. So somebody's making money. That she plays, she concerts a lot.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, I mean, she's on tour right now, isn't she?
Yeah, she has a new album.
She's always touring.
Her new album came out yesterday.
Oh, 1989, Lost in the Woods. I don't know the difference.
No, 1989.
Okay, but there was something about being lost in the woods?
Don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's been doing an interesting Instagram series where she has lyrics from each song and a picture associated with it. And she's posting that every day on Instagram.
Are you a Taylor Swift Instagram fan?
I love Taylor Swift.
You know, I don't dislike her.
She's a great songwriter.
You know, we're from different gens. I believe she's a millennial.
She's like 12.
Or whoever's younger than that. But
she's younger than a millennial. But she's great.
More of a Gen Xer myself, so I don't know how much Taylor and I would really like be able to bond.
Oh no, I wouldn't expect.
But I like her.
To even look my way,
no, because
what are you doing, Grandpa?
We're old and very confused.
But good, talented person, and so I think talented musicians can find a way. And it's kind of some of it's going to be social media, some of it's going to be live performance. I think that's still a way to make money.
Yep.
Creating your own. It's the same thing as with everybody else. The internet's changed the world, but it does give you access to a community. And if you manage it properly, I think it's a chance to make a very good living.
How do you feel about Google's new inbox app for Gmail?
Love it!
I knew that you were going to say that.
Oh,
we didn't actually plan to talk about it on the show, but I feel like it's a good enough time as any. Oh, yeah, I'm on it.
And I sent it to you because Gina Trapani got an invite by contacting Google directly and saying, please, sir. And she invited me and Jeff Jarvis. Of course, she's our host on All About Android and on This Week in Google. And this is from the Gmail team. It's a new app that does your email better, more better than you've ever done it before. Let me see if I actually didn't have it on here, so I will install it quickly. But it's out for iPhone, for Android, and there's a web version as well at inbox.google.com. You can go there, but you have to ask for an invitation. It's invitation only, just as Gmail was when it first started.
Okay, you know, I was going to say, how do you feel about Google's tactic here? But that's right. Gmail was invite only for quite a while.
I've been told, some people in the chat room have told me that they asked for an invite and a couple of days later got one. Mm. Others have said, no, I asked 3 days ago. So it's just kind of hit and miss. John's trying to get one. We're trying to get one from Jammer B. If you get any invites, send one to John. You'll get three invites sooner or later. And as soon as this gets installed, I'll show it to you. So the thing that you'll recognize immediately, we talked a lot about Mailbox. Remember Mailbox?
I still use it every day.
Wonderful tool. They were the first, I think, to really do this swipe triage. That's what I call it. Mm-hmm. With Mailbox, you have four different actions depending on whether you swipe short or swipe long and whether you swipe left or swipe right. So you can archive a message. You can... What are the four things? I've forgotten. You can set a timer to have it come back.
Right. Yeah, it's a reminder, archive, delete.
You can just delete it.
Or reply.
Right. So there's only two actions on the swiping on Google's inbox.
Mm-hmm.
One is to set a timer, say, come back tomorrow, come back next week. They have something unique, which I like. You can also set a location reminder. So you could say, hey, have this pop up in my inbox once again when I get to work.
Mm-hmm.
Or have it pop up in my inbox when I get to the store. And that's, now you may say, well, that's odd, but that's because reminders are also in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it has the reminder system that's Google's been doing, along with location and time-based reminders, along with your email. So that's really nice. You could say, I'm on the road, I'm on my iPhone right now or my iPad. I want to handle this when I get to work, so remind me then. It's taking a long time to download. Maybe their servers are jammed.
I've got mine up here.
Oh, okay. Well, let's...
Yeah, it is an iPhone app. That's why I've got my head cocked to the side.
Yeah.
It is an iPhone app. Works fine in...
So let me show you some of the other actions.
All right.
So you could swipe left or swipe right. Swiping left will do the timer action. swiping right will just say, I got it,
yeah,
archive
this.
Now, they call it done, but it's the same thing. By the way, this is important to understand. It's a different interface to your Gmail inbox. You have to be using Gmail, and anything you do here will be reflected on Gmail. So it isn't independent of Gmail. It's just a different interface.
This is kind of neat. What Inbox does, what it wants to do is be a smarter way to the way that it is marketed is sort of like, we all hate reading all this email, right? There's just too many emails. How do we change it? And many times, the contents of an email are formatted in a way, but really all you need is, you know, what time dinner is tomorrow.
If it's a video, you'll see the video there. If it's a picture, you'll see
exactly.
the picture there.
So it's trying to basically almost keep you from having to read your email in order to get a lot of information.
They're also bundling. So you see where it says promos. That's a bundle.
Right.
In fact, if you're using Gmail categories, it'll be a familiar bundle. It's promotional email. Usually, it's sufficient for me to do... This is the triage. Notice it goes back to May. This is stuff you haven't done anything with. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal. What you should do
is... Facial rejuvenation.
Is
pin
anything you want by tapping on it and clicking the pin and then closing it. That means save that.
Yeah.
And the rest you could sweep away with these. There's a sweep button at the very top, the second button from the right. That will get rid of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so sweeping is really handy on the promotional folder because that's mostly junk mail. So you could quickly scan it, pin the few things you want to handle or keep, and sweep the rest away. Remember, nothing is destroyed.
Right.
Sweeping just puts it in the archive, or what they call done in the inbox. You'll notice you have a number of bundles. If you scroll down, you'll see a variety of bundles. There are some that are
pre-made. Travel purchases. Yeah, these are all the stuff that Inbox gives you.
And you can add more. They're just folders. In fact, you already have some because you've done some stuff with your Gmail.
Remember Google Buzz?
Yeah.
I used to have a folder for that.
I deleted all of these. I cleaned up my Gmail.
Yeah.
Just for Inbox.
This is actually a good time to.
You can also create new ones. It has filtering. So you could say any email that comes from @twit.tv should go in a Twit folder, for instance.
I do think it's a little weird that there isn't a fast swipe to delete right off the main page.
There is.
How do you do it?
Well, it doesn't do delete. It goes done. So you swipe it to the right.
But okay.
No, just put it in done. You're done.
But with Mailbox, it's archive, or if you go all the way, it's a delete.
And I think that's a disadvantage.
I'm used to that, though.
Yeah. I think that two things is plenty, because you just want to swipe left or swipe right. You don't want to have to... I always had a problem with Mailbox. Getting it just in the right spot. Understand, with Gmail, the idea is you never delete mail. You just want to get it out of your inbox, but you want to keep it in your archive folder so you can search for it later if you want to make... What was I thinking? I remember now I got an offer for a coupon from Groupon. I swept it away, but I should... So you can go back and get it. But basically, when it's done, it's done. You know, it's not going to show up ever again in your inbox. I was able to get to inbox zero with this, which you may remember. I had 25,000 unread emails. This is the most amazing thing I've ever found for getting through my email, processing it fast. There's a plus button. You probably saw that. If you hit the plus button, you can compose a message, and it proposes the people you've mailed the most often. So those
are
people.
You're one of them.
I'm one of them. You can also quickly do a reminder. That's nice. It's now very much like a standard email program. There's no difference at this point, right?
So you're just sending yourself an email.
Maybe you can X out of that. It'll just go out of that. Yeah. I think it's designed to be swift, to be speedy. You can unpin stuff. You can pin stuff. You can timer stuff. You could swipe it away. You can bundle mail up and delete it all at once in a bundle. And this is important, it's not deleted, it's just archived. They call it done.
Which was always the foundation of Gmail, even in the beginning,
was
you don't have to think about getting rid of stuff all the time and then regretting it. We've got space, you just search for it later.
Right.
And then we all kind of got conditioned to do that over time. What I love about Inbox is, in theory, it just, you know, it's instead of treating all email the same way, because right now it's like an email comes in, you get new email, you read it.
Right.
They're either, you know, you respond or you delete it, or there's a variety of things that you might do depending on what the message is. but it's all treated the exact same. And inbox is sort of like, there are a lot of different kinds of emails, and we can tell you, you know, is this an email that has something to do with a dinner reservation? We're just going to put that in a different category. Is this about a flight? Oh, we're going to put that in.
It knows. And it does a good job,
so
I think.
So why not?
Let it filter a lot of
those emails. Help us do less work.
Right.
Because email is a
You mentioned the preview
beast.
Thing. Here's a cup. This is, I finally got mine going. So it shows you images in the, this is nice. I mean, you could see this is an invite, and you can even do an invite from there. You can do yes or no. You see, there's a video there, so I can quickly see that there's a video. I think this makes it very easy to see your mail and to process it quickly. And I would suggest that you clean up your Gmail folders. I did, so that you have just the stuff you want. If it's unbundled, it won't show up in your inbox. It's just another folder. I created a few of my own to put in the inbox, Lisa and Twit. So when Lisa emails me, it will go in that bundled folder. By the way, and this is one thing that's unique to Gmail versus IMAP, messages can show up in more than one place. That's actually a good thing.
Mm.
So if Lisa emails me, it shows up both in Lisa and in Twit. So I can be going through all my mails from Twit, and I'll see her message, or all the mail from her, and I'll see her message. Those things you can use to your advantage. I have played with every, as you know, a compli and in a mailbox and every email, because email has been a constant tribulation for me for the last few years. This is the first one I found that really lets me, checking three or four times a day, process my email in a way that makes sense. And I'm thrilled. I try to get an invitation if you can. Inbox@gmail.com or just go to inbox.google.com.
Yeah, they're it'll be open pretty soon.
I think that they're moving quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of really good feedback. Yeah, it's it.
Do you like it?
I'm thrilled. Thrilled with it.
Will you use it in lieu of mailbox?
Well, I'm going to go back and forth for a while because, like I said, I'm just really used to mailbox at this point, and I like their iPad app. They also have a really good Mac app that's relatively new, out of beta. And so, yeah, I'm not picking a side just yet, but I think that the concept of inbox is where email apps should be going.
I love it.
You know what I mean? It's Google's just the first again to change the way that that we process email, because email isn't going away. So we might as well make it a lot smarter. You know, we have a bunch of stuff that we can cover, but we don't have a ton of time left.
Oh my!
So I know. I mean,
should we just go right to the app? Cats?
Well, I thought maybe we would, and
part of that
has to do with the fact that I really want to wear my bat mask.
Oh,
today.
You look great! You are spectacular. Just go. I'm Batman.
I actually don't look good. You know why?
Why? What's the matter?
I think I'm too asymmetrical to be a bat girl. It just doesn't look right. Oh, no, you look good, though. You're a little ninja, right? A happy...
It says so.
Ninja.
Let me just put this right here so you know who I am.
There are some weird Halloween costumes these days.
I'm telling you, Ebola nurse.
Sexy Ebola nurse.
You're going to see it everywhere.
Does that seem right? That doesn't seem right to me. I've seen quite a few inappropriate Halloween costumes.
Does that do anything?
I don't know what that is. Oh, that's... If somebody wants to stop... Yeah. Hey, slow down, ninja. What are you in the rush for, huh?
I got a ninja tail.
Yeah. If you need to clip your ninja onto something, like the
I'm
back of a truck.
This is my costume. It's going to say, hi, my name is Ninja.
Ninja. Yeah. Very cute. Yeah, you know, you look really good. It's nice that you are able to talk so nicely.
I look just like that guy.
Yeah, you do. Wow. Actually,
Ninja Turtles.
Actually, you really do. Those are Ninja Turtles?
Well, they're the ninjas from the original movie.
Oh, yeah, I don't know that much about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You like this?
It's hot.
I don't think it is. You can't see my eyebrow. I look weird. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
You want to swap?
Also, it's like, look at me. I look like I'm melting
under
here.
You look like
here.
A Joker. You want to swap? Do you want to swap? Here, let's swap.
Yeah, I don't like this. It hurts.
You could be a ninja. I'll be Batman.
Thank you. Okay.
Does Batman wear glasses?
Sure.
Here.
Of course he does.
Hi, my name is Ninja. Name tag.
Sure. Yeah. That's not what that says.
You know, you're supposed to take this off, I think.
Oh. Really?
This kind of takes away from the Batman element to have a little tanger hanger. There we go. I'm Fat Man.
You look good.
Hey. I'm Batman.
I don't like the way this smells. Now I look, you know what? I look oppressed. Take off your burkas, everybody.
I look oppressed. I look oppressed. Oh, Lord. Here, give me the oppression, tools of oppression. I'll wear that. You can be anything you want. Can we get Ms. Lane another? This is good though. I like it. I could be a ninja guy from Hangover.
Hi, I'm Colleen.
There you go.
Oh, I'm a lass. A lass named Colleen.
You are.
Look, you're a heart ninja. Look, it's like you got a little heart on your face. No, you look great. You look good. Hey, so this is the part of the show where Leo and I really start to go off the rails. And while we do that, we also wear hats, a.k.a. app caps. And then we choose two apps that we think are amazing that you should know about and have for yourself. Should I go first?
Please do.
Okay. Well, this is actually, so this is not a new app because if I say to you, hey, what's the best calendar app? You might say, well, Sarah, you're always talking about Fantastical.
Or Fantastical.
Fantastical is my calendar of choice. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I like them to be the same on my iPad and my iPhone. Mm-hmm. Of course, there is a iOS calendar that comes native in iOS. And it's fine. But I just have always liked Fantastical, particularly on my iPhone. So I wanted it to be on my iPad as well. Now, Fantastical is one of those apps that was... when Fantastical 2 for iPad came out, it was released as its own standalone app. So it wasn't just an update. It was actually a new app that you had to purchase separately for a variety of reasons. What's cool about the newest version of Fantastical, though, is not just that it's a... Where are you open here? Here you are. It's not that it's just a great calendar, and I really like the way that it uses the iPad real estate.
Ooh, that's kind of pretty.
Yeah, you've got your week view, and you can, move around.
Oh.
You've got, a variety of stuff going on, depending on what day it is.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Aya's actor's 30th birthday. I missed it. Happy birthday, Aya's. And, sort of a variety of stuff like this. But, here's the coolest part. So, in iOS 8, we learned that the Notification Center was going to get beefed up to just give you a lot more on-the-go, quick-look information. And Fantastical has updated its app so that it integrates really well with Notification Center. For example, if I go ahead and say, all right, well, what's going on today? Let's get a nice quick look of what I have going on. And I go ahead and look in the Notification Center, and now... I've actually put Fantastical up at the top right under weather and traffic situation. Now I've got my month of October, because that's obviously what we're in. It's already highlighted on the 27th, because that's what day it is today. And then I can see on the 27th is, I've got a couple birthdays. This is stuff that's coming in from Facebook. I was in San Diego over the weekend, so that, I've got iPad today. All of this information is part of my Notification Center. I've got TN2 later today, and I can move around. So I can say, all right, well, on the 7th, I don't have a whole lot going on, so maybe that would be a good place for me to, populate a new activity, whatever. Because again, I'm being able to look at my calendar, which is easy enough to just pull up as the actual app. But I like it as a notification center, especially if I want to check a bunch of stuff. Now, when I mentioned that I put it up at the top, this is all completely customizable. Up here is what my notification center looks like right now. I took out the native calendar app and added Fantastical. You can see the little three bars on the right side let you know that these are notifications that can be reordered to your liking. So let's say, all right, well, I've got traffic conditions, Fantastical reminders, a tomorrow summary. Well, what else do I want up there? Maybe I want... I don't know. What do I want, really? I talked about long form the other week, right? Maybe I want some new updates on what there might be to read. So now I've got long form. Let's say I want that, right under my traffic conditions. That's fine. Again, completely customizable. And I can see that there's a new something that was posted to long form recently. I can go ahead and click right from within the notification center and pull that up. And that's, iPad not connected to the internet. Yes, I am. I was having a problem earlier because I was at the airport. But again, the notification center is, it just updated to me because now I am online again. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that goes for Deadspin. Wow, I actually hadn't really thought of putting long form up there. I sort of like that because I'm really into that app right now. Anyway, the notification center.
I love that.
Is yeah, and you know, again, these are, you know, notifications that you, you know, may have missed, and you have complete control for the most part over what your notification center looks like. Because obviously we all care about different things and have different activities. And having Fantastical be able to be part of the notification center just makes me like it that much more. I believe currently Fantastical 2, let me make sure that I am quoting this strictly. Yeah, it's $8 in the App Store. So if you are, I don't know, super happy with the standard iOS calendar, or like Leo said, Sunrise, which is also very popular and a really great app, you know, $8 is a lot for a calendar app. I will say, though, that it is as fully functional as any calendar app is, and it's always been my favorite. So if you're looking for a better solution, I think absolutely give it a shot.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
You know, we should probably do, maybe we'll do, by the way, I'm Batman Ninja.
Oh, look at you.
Now you can't see a thing.
No.
Nor can I.
Uh-uh.
We should probably do a rundown of things you can add to your notification center, because we've had some on MacBreak Weekly, like iStat now has notification center stuff for the Mac, but there's got to be a bunch of stuff for the iPad. I know there's one that will let you add locations if you wish to your notification center, and there's check-ins.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do that next week. I don't know. Let's think about it. Let's look at what's out there.
Oh, like our theme next week could be customizing the crap out of notifications?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to make a note for myself, or else I'll forget.
I'm darned excited about this.
Me too.
Do you get, you don't have cable, so this is something you can't use.
Okay.
But I love it. They announced it this week. FX, the FX channel, has an app, and maybe you're familiar with it, called FX Now. It lets you watch online all the FX stuff, if your cable company allows. You have to pay for it, have to have a paid subscription. And if your cable company allows you to sign up, you should. But they've added Simpsons World this week. Every episode of The Simpsons ever is now available for you to watch on your iPad or your iPhone.
And that's a lot of episodes.
That's 525 episodes.
Oh, my gosh.
There is 25 years of Simpsons here.
Oh, my gosh.
So they did this, remember, as a marathon last month, where they did 2 weeks, I think, of Simpsons. What's really fun is they've added this graphing thing to show the popularity. So if you don't know what to watch, you can say, well, let's see what the most popular episode was in season 5. It was episode 5, the Treehouse of Horror 4, and you can jump right to that. This is, for a Simpsons fan, nirvana. Pure heaven. Again, you have to have a cable subscription.
What are we laughing at?
I see Batman in my...
Oh, all right.
I'm Batman. It's pure nirvana. Of course, it's going to have an ad here, but as soon as the ad's over, we'll be able to see it. Oh, my God. Don't look at that. That's scary. It's probably some dumb video game. Yeah, thank you. Oh, this is Destiny. I love it that they're using Led Zeppelin music. This is, by the way, nothing like actually playing Destiny. Just so you know.
Yeah, that was like live
that's
action.
That's a lie.
Yeah, right. They always are, though.
The ad is basically nothing like playing the game. It's
oh,
a good
my.
Game. All right, so you do have to. There are some ads in this, obviously, but the fact that we can see any episode. This is season 5. This is 20 years ago. Perfect for Halloween. In fact, you can watch every Treehouse of Horror episode. Or let's say you're a Sideshow Bob fan. You can watch every Elvis except it. I love them. Anyway, this is, look at the donut. I love it. This is really great. It's a free app, FX Now. And there's no cost to you if you already subscribe. FX Now is a basic cable, so almost everybody has it. The very first Simpsons episode, wouldn't you love to watch that? Anyway, it's all on here. Can you believe this? Love it! 525 episodes of The Simpsons streamed. They're not stored on your iPad. You could just, you know, you could go through all of the openings and see all of the Simpsons openings if you wanted to. That's my pick of the week. Thank you, Matt Groening. And thank you all for being here. I'm Ninja Batman.
And I'm Colleen the Irish Lass.
I'm Fat Ninja Batman.
Fat Ninja Batman. You look good. You know what's kind of cool is that we can hang you up, too.
I know.
If you need to kind of, you know, take a little bat nap.
I've been hanging on a store shelf for a while.
How is that part of the mask? Do you take it off or... It's just to, you know, it's like bad people want convenience too, everybody.
I like to hang.
Yeah.
And wait for
swear to me and hang me up.
Hang me.
I'm tired.
Alfred.
That's it for this edition of iPad Today, everybody. By the time you see us next, Halloween will be over.
Thank God.
Thank goodness for that, as well as Dia de los Muertos, correct? Isn't that the first?
That's right.
Of November? Well, yeah, you look great. All right, well, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and leave. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. A reminder that we do shoot the show on Mondays right after Triangulation, about 12:30 Pacific time, 3:30 Eastern time. If you want to watch us live, we'd love to have you. Of course, you can go to twit.tv/IPT and catch up with any episodes of ours that you might have missed. And we can't wait to see you again next week on...
iPad Today.
Oh.
Ow.
Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow. Ow.